his words are a bit mean, and he's not really that good.
Olives is great.
But in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews, he's talking about faith and what faith means and how it plays out in people's lives. And I just want to read the first few, it's about the first quarter of chapter 11, and then I'll go into chapter 12. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain." So now he's going right back and he's talking about people at the beginning. "Through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of that same promise. For he was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they are thinking of that land from which they have gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." And in verse 39 it says, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore," verse 1 of chapter 12, "since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Read that far, may God bless his word to us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray now that as we take a short time to meditate, to think on it, we would be listening and looking not so much to hear something new, but to be reminded of your eternal truths that speak to our hearts, that minister to us and guide us into truth. Lord, your word is truth. For we ask in his name. Amen. I don't know what 2013 has been like for you as we come to the last few days. I don't know how many days left of 2013, but with the last couple of days, last few days, I don't know what it's been like for you. Has it been a great year? Been a okay year? Been a suckful year? I don't know. Just it's all different for each of us. And it's probably, if it's been like most normal people, you've probably had elements of all of those things. You've probably had great times, you've probably had so-so times, you've probably also had really terrible times as well. And of course, there's different challenges and different opportunities come into our lives, maybe our families. They can create really great times, but also they can create really stressful times for us. Our relationships, their husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, brothers and sisters, finances. Finances can cause a lot of stress for us. Work, you get stress at work, finding work, having work, all those sorts of things. Or work can be going really great and you're really enjoying it. So, you know, we all go through different times, and I don't know what 2013's been like for you, but the point is you're still here. The Lord has preserved you, so you're here for a purpose, and the purpose He has for you is coming up, and that's in the year 2014, another year by God's grace. Isn't that right? Another year by God's grace. You're about to step into 2014, and what 2014 is going to be like for you, I don't know, because I don't know what 2014 is going to be like even for me. And what challenges, what opportunities you're going to face, and what things there are ahead of you. And that's why I wanted us to look at this passage here. Because here the writer of Hebrews, he's in chapter 11, he looks back, he looks at all these people, these believers who have gone ahead and the challenges and the opportunities that they've had in their lives. And we tend to talk, in some Bibles we say these are the heroes of the faith. Now I think that's a bit of a misnomer, a bit of a misnaming. These weren't heroes of the faith, these were people of faith like you and I, and they all had to face different things in their lives. So he looks at those, and he brings them into the present and says, having looked at the lives of all of these people, all of these believers in the past, therefore I want to challenge you to run the race of faith that is ahead of you. And so he uses what we read about in chapter 11, all these people like Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Sarah, he uses them and says, having looked at their lives and having looked at how they trusted in God, now I want to encourage you to go on in your faith. And he brings a challenge to them. And the first thing he says is that if you're going to get through 2014, you're going to get there by running, okay? If you're going to get through 2014, the only way you're going to get there is by running. Now, if I said to you, hey, everybody, this afternoon I've got a great idea. Let's all go for a run, okay? After lunch, we're going to meet down at the Bruce Pullman Park at 3 o'clock, and we want to do, let's just make it 10 laps of Bruce Pullman Park. Now, probably a lot of you, your hearts would sink. I know some of you would be like, yes, that's what I'm going to do anyway. I'm going to do 20 laps. But a lot of you, including myself, your heart would sink because you just think, what are you going to think of? You're going to think of pain, you know, that niggling hip joint or toe or whatever it is. You're going to think of burning sensations in your chest, your heart beating, okay, sweat, discomfort, aching bones and all that sort of thing, and muscle pain in your muscles. You'll think of all that. And so it's probably there for a bit of a disappointment to you to be reminded or to learn that when the Bible talks about the Christian life, it talks about it in terms of a running race. I mean, I would prefer it to say, hey guys, I want you just to kick back and relax, and here's the lazy boy, or think of your most comfortable chair or whatever it is. Here's a recliner by the pool. Here's a pina colada. Don't know what a pina colada is, but sounds cool. And you can, or a a beer, whatever you want. And you can, or a cordial, Coke, Fanta. You can sit by and you can just relax. Okay, we're on our way to heaven. And you just lie back and relax and take it easy. And we'll see you there. All right? But the Bible doesn't say that, does it? It never says that. It says here, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. Oh boy, that word run just fills you with fatigue, eh, just thinking about it. So that's the thing, isn't it? You get there by running. If you're going to make it through 2014 as a believer with your faith intact, it's something you do by running. And that just highlights a couple of secondary points. The first thing is this, of course, it's a race, okay? It's a race. And when you're running a race, what do you do? Well, he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So when you're going to run a race, what do? First of all, you get rid of everything. Now, you'd probably see this when you watch an athletics meeting, watching the Olympics or something like that, or even a rugby game or a soccer game. The team, they turn up, they've got their bags, they've got their tracksuits on, they've got their, usually, you know, if it's some of these guys got their headphones on with their MP3 player going and a hat on and all these things, and they'll turn up and they cruise in and you think, how are you going to, you know, you can't run like that. So what they do is they put down their bag, they take off their tracksuit, they take off their headphones, they take off their watch, they take off anything, and they lay it aside. They put it to one side. Any extra clothing, any jewelry, any bags, or, you know, you don't see, for example, you don't see women jogging down the road with their hand, holding a handbag, you know, like going for a run, got my handbag. Or a big woolly hat on. You could do that, I suppose. Or with your cell phone or your wallet in your pocket. You know, in the old days, when the Apostle Paul, when he talks about competing, they talk about competing in such a way as you're unhindered. And when the Greeks and the Romans did sport, you know what? They did it naked, right? That's what they would have been thinking of there. They did it naked. Now, thankfully, we don't have to see people doing that these days. But if you went to the Olympics, it would have been X-rated by today's standards, because everybody was, just men anyway, and probably only men went to watch the Olympics in those days, I suppose. They took off they had their robe on, then they took their robes off, and they competed, and then they put their robes back on. Now, as I said, we don't have to endure that. Now we've got lightweight sports clothing. Now we've got Lycra and stretchy fabrics and all that sort of thing, and running shoes and socks. But it's still the same, isn't it? You still, when you're competing, you still have to lay aside everything, and it's the same spiritually. It's the same if you're going to run, if you're going to spiritually run with endurance. You need to put off the stuff that's going to slow you down. That's unnecessary. Now, it's not bad stuff, is it? A handbag isn't bad, or wearing clothes isn't a bad thing, but it's going to stop you running properly. And it's the same spiritually. There can be things in our lives that are good and proper and that we need, but we may need to make decisions if we want to get to the end, if we want to run with endurance, that we may need to actually start to say no about some things. It may even be your work. Is your work sucking up your life, taking over, taking control, absorbing you, absorbing all your time, all your energy, all your emotions? That's the only thing you can think about, and you've got no time to attend to the things of God, to even get to a worship service. Or it may be just your stuff that you've got. You know, you've got the house, and you want the best house on the street or whatever it is, and you spend all your spare time just washing it and painting it and cleaning it and repairing it, and so that you've got no time to do anything else. Or it might be your car. You spend all your time on your car. Or it could be friendships and the influences. You might spend time with friends who who are a negative influence on you and take you away from God, or can be anything. Can be study. It can be just time spent in front of the TV. And none of that stuff is actually necessarily bad in and of itself, but it's a stuff that needs to be laid aside. It's an unnecessary weight. Takes you away from God. Keeps you from fellowship with believers. Keeps you from reading the scriptures. Keeps you from praying. But he also says, lay aside every weight, but also he says the sin which clings so closely, or the sin that easily besets us. In other words, what are the things, what sins are those things, are those sins, are those weaknesses, are those temptations that come into your life easily and keep you from fellowship with God, keep you from walking with the Lord, and that may stop you from getting to the end of 2014. So when you run, not only do you lay aside every weight, but also you have to prepare. And if you, for example, if you're trying to run, you've got clothes that are too tight fitting and they start to chafe, or your shoes are too small. That's a mistake often I make. I walk into a shop and I go, yeah, buy a pair of shoes. Those shoes look good, like that price, try them on. Yeah, they feel all right. And I go home and I go, actually, these are too tight. I've always got that problem. Rush into a shop, buy clothes, regret it later. That's why I got married. So I don't do that so much now. You know, just eating the wrong food. I used to do a bit of running, believe it or not. And I know that I could never run like for about an hour after I'd eaten. I couldn't run. I'd have to let my food to settle. And I couldn't run on an empty stomach. I'd have to have something there, but I couldn't run too soon after having eaten. Or even something like a badly trimmed toenail. That can stop you from finishing a race. And so there are things in your life, and you know those things. You know what are your weaknesses. You know what are those sins that cling to you closely. What are the things, and we need to think about this. What are those things that are going to be a challenge for you in 2014? If you want to make it spiritually intact to the end of this next year, having grown as a Christian, with having become more mature in your faith, what are those things that are getting in the way and that are going to stop you making it to the end? We all have besetting sins. We all have things that try and trip us up and that get close to us. And there's the usual suspects, you know, the old drink, the drugs, the gambling, the porn. But then there's also things like anger, things like stuff we don't think about, gluttony, things like lying, things like laziness. You know, we often don't think of laziness as a sin. We sort of joke about it and we go, you know. But laziness can be a major problem to our growth as Christians. And if we're lazy about our faith, it's going to be a big challenge for us getting through to the end of 2014. We've got to run. And you can't run if you're lazy. These things will trip us up. These things will fill us with guilt and shame. And they will stop us serving God. You know what happens when people fall into sin? What do? The first thing we want to do is go and hide away somewhere quiet. Nobody can see us. Pastor, I've had a big night. I'm a bit hungover. I can't come to church. Or, you know, oh, Jeff, something's come up and I can't serve, you know. I can't help out this ministry anymore. Sin gets in the way. Sin trips us up. So Paul says, if it's Paul, if it's Apollos, if the writer says, we've got to get rid of these things out of our lives and we've got to run with endurance. He says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. you know, it's always curious. The if you watch the Olympics, what's the big race in the Olympics? What's the big event that everybody wants to see? It's the 100 meters, isn't it? And isn't it crazy? When's the 100 meters on? How long does the 100 meters race last? It's about 10 seconds, isn't it? Some of these guys do it for even less, okay? Isn't it about that? 10 seconds, that's that. So all the hype goes onto the 100 meters race, which is about 10 seconds long. And then there's guys out there who are doing the 5,000 meters and the marathon, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's boring. Anything else on? It's because we like excitement. It's because we like things to be quick and easy. And, you know, many Christians struggle, and many people fail to make it as Christians because they miss this one key thing. The Christian life is an endurance race. It's an endurance sport. And a lot of people at this time of the year, they get caught out, don't they? They're going away, Coromandel, or go somewhere near the bush, up near the mountains. They go, nice day. Might go for a bit of a walk. Might go for a bit of a walk up the top of that mountain there. And off they go. They've got their t-shirt on, they've got their shorts on, and they've got some shoes on or some jandals. And what are they thinking? Well, they're thinking, they're just looking at the weather and they think they'll just go for a walk. They're not thinking long term. Then next thing you read about them in the news, because the search and rescue or the police have had to go out and find them and bring them back in. And what do they say? These fools went into the bush and they weren't prepared. They didn't have adequate clothing. They didn't have anything to drink. They got cold and they got wet, because the weather changes, believe it or not. Especially in the mountains. They weren't thinking long term. They were just thinking for the moment. And it's the same for you and I as Christians, isn't it? If we just think for the moment, if we just think that the Christian life is something that we can do in a 9-second dash, or whatever it is they do, then we're going to struggle when trials and issues and things come up in our lives. If you're here now as a Christian, you've got through 2013 because you understand that it's an endurance race. And if you're going to get through 2014, you've got to keep understanding that it's an endurance race. It's a long distance race. It requires patience. In fact, the word endurance, you could translate that as patience. Trust in God in all circumstances and a willingness to suffer for his sake if necessary. So just briefly, why run? Just the second point, some reasons to run with endurance. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What he wants you and I to see is that we're not running on our own, but we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, it's interesting, he's chosen his words here. He doesn't use the word, he could have used the word theater. He could have said, we're surrounded by a great cloud of spectators, right? But he doesn't. He doesn't actually use the word spectators. What do spectators do? A spectator spectates, don't they? A spectator just sits back and enjoys it and just says, you know, that stink, that's cool, clap, 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 boo, boo, you know, whatever. But he doesn't say spectator. He says you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses are involved, aren't they? They're involved in the case. They're called and they have to give an account and they have to speak the truth and they have to be there for the duration of proceedings and so on. Good shot. He says you run because others have run. Okay, you run because others have run. Remember, he talks about, what does he say? He says, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, all of these ones have had to endure. Abel, what happened to Abel? That was a great life, wasn't it? We want to be like Abel. Abel the believer, what happened to him? Well, he got murdered by his brother because he wanted to worship God properly. What about Enoch? Well, it says Enoch was such a godly man that the Lord just took him. Enoch, I love you so much, I'm just going to take you to be with myself. And what about Abraham? Abraham, leave everything you know and love, your whole whānau, everybody, the land that's yours, and I want you to go out and you're going to start a new people for me. Sarah, you've got no children. You've had no babies throughout your whole life. And now you're going to have a baby when you're an old lady. And so on. He says you're surrounded by people who know what it means to live a life of faith and to persevere. And you run because the crowd is with you. You're not alone. They're not just there to look at you, but they are witnesses. They are there to support you. They're there as part of the family. And how else do you run? He says you run looking, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, or the author and the finisher of our faith. If you've got through 2013 as a Christian, if you've got this far, it's only because you're looking to the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes we struggle in our faith and sometimes we want to give up. Why? Because usually at that point we're looking at ourselves. Usually at that point we're looking and saying, what can I do? How can I make it? I'm useless. I don't have enough faith. I'm not brainy enough, or I'm not good enough like all these other Christians, or I'm not rich enough, or I'm not good looking enough, or whatever. And we're looking at ourselves, aren't we? We're looking at ourselves and we're not looking to Jesus. And it's only by looking to Jesus that you're going to make it. When you take your eyes off Jesus and you start looking at yourself, then you want to give up. I know I want to give up when I look at myself. I look at myself and I see how stink I am. And I go, you know, what's the point? Who wants to be like me? But you look to Jesus. You look to Jesus. Why? Because he, as he says, is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He is the one who has worked faith in your heart. And as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. And if Jesus has started a work in your heart, he will bring it to completion. He will make it happen. I was reading last night about a guy called Pastor Lamb who passed away recently. He was founder of quite a large church in China, the underground church. He was arrested in 1949. And he was sent, and he spent 15 years working as a slave in the Chinese coal mines. And he said every day people were being killed and maimed, these slaves working underground. But he said, for some reason, the Lord protected me and preserved me. And he said, and every day I heard of others who were Christians who were imprisoned and in the end would go and renounce their faith and so that they could get their freedom. And he said, I was so afraid that I would do that. And I believe, he said, the only thing that kept me is that each day I would humble myself before the Lord and say, Lord, you keep me. In other words, his eyes were on the Lord, not on himself. But there's also this final thing, isn't it? He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We don't often think about that, do we? When we think about the cross, when we think about the crucifixion, what do we think about? We think of the suffering, we think of the pain, we think of the rejection, we think of all of those bad and horrible things which are true and accurate. But he says, Jesus looked beyond the cross to what? To the joy. Jesus looked beyond the cross to the joy. And he says, when you look at Jesus, you need to have that mindset of Jesus so that when you're looking at your Christian life, you look beyond the struggles and the suffering and the pain and the issues and the temptations and the sins that you fall into. Look beyond those. Look to the joy. Look to the joy as Jesus did. That is waiting for you. The joy of glory the delight, the happiness, the pleasure. Watched a documentary the other night on MotoGP. Any of you like watching motor racing? It was an awesome documentary about the MotoGP. This is the motorbike racing, the Formula One of motorbike racing. These guys are insane. You know, they're going around corners at 100 miles an hour. That's 161 kilometers, for those of you who don't know miles. They're going around corners at 100 miles an hour. Their bike is drifting. The wheels are sliding across the tarmac. They are on a 70-degree lean. And their knee is scraping on the ground. Their elbow is just about touching the ground. And they are just within a hair breadth of that bike. And it happens, of course, sometimes. And they have to do this lap after lap after lap. And they say, you know, there's only a few people in the world who can actually do that. And it's almost like you're born with that ability or you're not. But the thing you see, you go, why would you do that? Why would you risk your life and everything, and limb? And these guys have got plates, you know, and screws all over them holding them together. And they're only about 21 years old. And you go, why on earth would you do that? And then you see at the end of the race why. The guys are so ecstatic when they win a race and when they cross the line, and they're just like, man, this is the best. This is what I've lived my life for. This is why I do this. I'm the happiest. And of course, they get a big fat paycheck too, I know. But it's the joy of the victory that makes them persevere and win the race. And it's the same for us, isn't it? You sustain yourself. You have sustained yourself this year as you've run with the thought of the joy that was Jesus, that made Jesus endure the cross and despise the shame, that one day that's going to be yours. So when you run the race, what do you do when you get to the end of a race? If you're the winner of a race, what happens? They have a bit of a tape, don't they? And you run across, and you imagine the feeling as that tape snags across your chest as you cross the finish line, and the joy that you get from that. And so the writer says, Jesus endured for that. And you also, looking to Jesus, you will run in the same way. You will run looking to him. And if you do that, you will make it through 2014. You will make it through 2014. He has promised. He's not going to let you down. And you will get there. And the joy will be yours. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the promise that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can't do this by ourselves. We are forced. The only way we know that we will make it is by looking to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginner and the perfecter of our faith. And we pray that you would sustain us, Lord God. We thank you that you've brought us this far by your grace. And we thank you that you will keep us through to the end. As we pray in his name. Amen.